The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Judeans gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Any children want to come up for the children's message this morning? Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Good, good. Today's Mother's Day, right? Did you get your mom something? Yeah? That's awesome. I want you to take a look out there with me this morning. See all those smiling faces? See all those women of faith who are gathered here? We also celebrate them today. So it's Mother's Day, but we also celebrate women of faith, because you know what? We have lots of women in our lives that help us. We've got moms and grandmas and aunts, and you maybe had a teacher that's a lady. I know for me, I had two pastors growing up that were women. One was my campus pastor at Texas A&M, and the other was my internship supervisor, and I would not be the pastor I am today without them. So I'm thankful that our church has women pastors. So we celebrate women of faith, and I'm glad y'all got your mom a gift. So give her a big hug today, all right? And help her to celebrate. Can you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for moms and grandmas and aunts and sisters, teachers, friends, all of the amazing women in our lives. Help us to celebrate and love them, just as you love us. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. That's right, we can wave. Yeah? All right, y'all can head back. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the resurrected Christ. Amen. So the fourth Sunday of this season of Easter is traditionally known as Good Shepherd Sunday, and each of the 3 years of our lectionary cycle that dictate the gospel readings for Sunday morning take place in the 10th chapter of John, where Jesus has a lengthy discussion about being a shepherd and what that means for himself and what that means for the people. Shepherd imagery is written throughout the Holy Scriptures. It has long been a part of God's story, from David, the boy shepherd, out in the field where he is anointed king, to the shepherds in the wilderness keeping watch over their flock who are startled by a legion of angels telling them the good news, who become some of the first to proclaim the birth of Christ, to Jesus, who calls himself the Good Shepherd, the one who seeks the lost. And you'll find the imagery of shepherds all across Christian art. I've got some on the pectoral cross that I wear that my wife bought for me a couple of years ago. It is the Good Shepherd cross, and it's got sheep and Jesus as the Good Shepherd. In the Holy Land, if you've ever been there to take a tour, there is a multitude of shepherd imagery. And I remember hearing a story a couple of years ago of a group of tourists working their way through the Holy Land with a tour guide, and they're taking pictures and soaking in the sights. And one day they're traveling on a stretch of road in between two towns, and they come upon a herd of sheep a flock with a shepherd. And one of the tourists gets rather excited and animated and snapping all kinds of pictures and talking about Jesus as the good shepherd of the sheep. And I've read about this and I remember the Bible stories when I was a kid. And the tour guide's just not that amused. And the gentleman points like, look, there's the shepherd, and he's driving the flock of sheep. To which the tour guide said, that's all well and good, but that's not the shepherd, that's the butcher. The shepherd leads the sheep, apparently. The butcher drives them to the markets. We follow. That's what we do. We don't get chased from behind with somebody snapping at our heels. Jesus gives us a very particular metaphor of the one who leads and the one who seeks. The one who searches and finds. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, he says, and they follow me. It speaks of an intimate relationship, certainly one that he had with his disciples who certainly knew his voice. But I imagine it also speaks to the women who were also followers of Jesus, women who lingered at the cross even after the disciples had scattered in the darkness. And after all, in John's story, it is Mary who, upon hearing her name, knows it's Jesus. Not the gardener that she assumed he was, who had mistakenly taken the body away, but Jesus, her teacher, her rabbi. She knew his voice, and when he spoke her name, she recognized him. And as I mentioned on Easter morning, for that moment, Mary was the church. She was the one who contained the good news of resurrection. She became the first apostle to disbelieving disciples. It is her faith, her recognition, and her proclamation, which is why we are here today and continue to tell this story. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. To me, this begs the question, what does Jesus' voice sound like? We certainly don't have any recordings of his sermons. We can't find them on YouTube or download a podcast. All we have are stories. All we have are sayings. Some very famous ones that we recognize. And maybe when we hear those sayings, there's a particular voice that pops into our mind. We hear the sound of a mother, a father, a grandmother, a pastor, a youth director. Maybe somebody not related to the church at all. But when that phrase is said, we remember. Perhaps that's what Jesus' voice sounds like, if we're to think about what that means. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We who are the body of Christ, part of Jesus' flock, show up at places like this to listen. To listen to the stories, to sing hymns together, to listen to a sermon, to take in the good news. But this is not the only place that God speaks. This is not the only place that we ought to be in tune to God being at work in our world, and it's certainly not the only place that Jesus is calling us to be present. So how do we hear Jesus' voice? How do we listen? How do we train ourselves, or to use Jesus' own words, to open our eyes and open our ears to see and hear the gospel in our midst? Certainly this is part of the equation. Learning the stories, the unique rhythm of Scripture, the voice of God speaking. And it becomes a piece of the puzzle, a piece of training to go out and listen more intently to the world around us. Jesus is the great shepherd, and we are the sheep. But after the resurrection, we inherit a more enhanced role. We are also the ones who were to go out and seek, to go out and listen. With the assurance that there is nowhere we can go, no place, no emotion, no state of mind that God doesn't know and where God will not go to find us. As an example, we train ourselves to look and listen to where God is calling us in the world, where there is joy to be celebrated, where there is hurt to be healed, relationships to be mended, justice to be fought for and proclaimed. Good Shepherd Sunday is an invitation to listen. This 10th chapter of John contains great wisdom about what life with Jesus looks like, about who Jesus is, about our relationship to that reality, to the depth of God's love for the world. And there are also calls to follow. Just previously, in chapter 10, we have one of the most critical and important statements that Jesus utters in the Gospel of John. I came that they may have life and have life abundantly. I came that they may have life and have life abundantly. That's the promise. It's one of the places in John's gospel that leans into the word of resurrection, which is all about abundant life, that good news to Mary at the tomb, that death has lost its sting. Abundant life now and forever. Part of our calling as people of God, as the body of Christ, as the flock of Jesus, is to participate in that abundant life, to help circulate resources so that abundance touches the lives of more people, that we recognize abundance and scarcity and work to balance that equation so that all have enough. And that takes a new way of seeing and a new way of hearing, a new way of tuning to where God is at work in our world and Jesus is calling us to show up for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of love, for the sake of healing. And so I invite us to listen. It's harder than we might think. Lord knows there are a cacophony of noises in our world, not just the hustle and bustle of downtown or the communities in which we live or the 24/7 news cycle or whatever it is that seems to be speaking on a nonstop basis. Sometimes we have to take a step back and listen, to intentionally silence the things around us and reflect and listen more deeply to each other and to what is going on. It's not easy, but it's doable. It takes a daily determination. We can't just do it by accident. It has to be intentional. In a world that wants to speak nonstop, we ought to take time to listen. So let us open our eyes and ears to what God is up to. Let us open our hearts and minds to where Jesus is calling us into the world. Let us heed that call. Hear the voice of Jesus and follow and do just what Jesus does. Work to bring about abundant life for all people. Amen. Our hymn of the day is number 449, We Know That Christ Is Raised. Please rise.